So the first two, which are kind of about normal friendship, use and pleasure, they're concerned with getting various needs of yours met. And in a sense, there's nothing wrong with this. This is what Subhuti's pointing out in there. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that it's limited. It's just limited. It's not as much as, in a sense, you could, as it were, get from friendship. Most of our experience of friendships are going to be like this. If it's not that they're like that now, they probably certainly started like that. And as a result of that, you know, if the friendship's just about use and pleasure, they tend to come and go, depending on whether you, your friend, are still useful and pleasurable. So, you know, quite naturally, they'll come and go. There's a lack of depth to them. So they're okay. There's nothing to be ashamed of there, as it were, but they're limited. Friendship based on the good, on the love of virtue, and in our terms then, you know, self-transcendence, going for refuge to the three jewels. This is spiritual friendship as opposed to just ordinary friendship. And it goes beyond use and pleasure. It's not limited or constrained by them. Yeah? Your friend who's a spiritual friend, well, maybe sometimes they're not useful and pleasurable to you. You're having a difficult time with them. They're still your friend. Yeah? Because together you're working towards the good. So your friend is not just useful or pleasurable, he helps you to transcend yourself, and that's really what this type of friendship is about. He relates to your potential, and he helps you to actualise it. He reminds you of your ideals. In a sense, spiritual friendship is quite useless. It's quite useful to sort of bear this in mind. Useful to bear in mind it's useless, yeah. Spiritual friendship isn't really about helping you, say, to get a new car, or whatever it is. It's not necessarily about helping you to have a good time. And it's useful to sort of bear this in mind. In fact, you know, as I've sort of already suggested, sometimes when you have to, say, point out your friend's unskillfulness, or he has to do the same to you, you know, you might not have a good time. But in a sense, that doesn't matter. But it is, in fact, of great value, much more value than anything else, because it helps you to transcend yourself. And that's a very difficult thing to do, and anything that helps you to do that is of immense value. Ultimately, spiritual friendship is actually just a value in itself. It's just a value in itself. It's not about getting something else. So, like, for example, later on in the retreat, we're going to hear about Shariputra and Moggallana's friendship, yeah, their friendship together. Now, Shariputra and Moggallana were enlightened. They didn't need anything. They certainly didn't need anything from one another. Their friendship was purely a matter of delighting in the good in one another. In a sense, their friendship was quite useless. But that's where its value lay. You know, it's a value in itself. Same is true of the Buddha and his friendships. The Buddha was the Buddha, you know. He didn't really need his friends in the way that maybe we need our friends. But he loved them. He appreciated them. He appreciated the good in them. Yeah? He saw the value from that. Okay. So we can see these different categories, use, pleasure, and good, as a sort of hierarchy. And this is quite a useful way of looking at it. Kind of use and pleasure are about on the same level, but above them is the good, friendship based on the good. And if you look at them like this, you can start to see them as a bit of a path of friendship. So you've got, at the bottom, as it were, the more contractual type of friendship, friendship that's based on getting something, use and pleasure. Yeah, you've got this more contractual type of friendship. And probably, when we've got these friendships, we're going to be quite attached to them. Of course, because, you know, we're attached to getting that use and pleasure. But gradually, these types of contractual friendships can develop into much more unconditional friendships. Friendships that are not about use and pleasure, but are about the good, about self-transcendence. Gradually, they can evolve. Whereas friends, you know, you and your friend become increasingly independent of one another. In a sense, you don't need one another, which allows you to really appreciate one another more fully, you know, more fully as independent human beings, and to therefore, really love one another and really love the good in one another. Underneath this kind of hierarchy of contractual friendships and unconditional friendships, at the bottom, as it were, there's the position of being isolated, not really being in relationship at all. This is very different from independence, where, you know, one is free to associate or not, one is free to cooperate or not. When you're isolated, you have to remain in isolation. That's the point. And the state of isolation will be characterised by selfishness, hatred, and resentment, rather than by love. So contractual friendships, those based on use and pleasure, are actually an advance on the state of being isolated. And this is why, in a sense, you know, there's nothing wrong with them. They're just limited, and there's something much bigger, much more important that you could have, which is spiritual friendships, unconditional friendships.